Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 15, Coincidences. Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is enemy action. So here's a question. At what point do you look back at your life and realize how much you fucked up? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, every pony has regrets. Things they wish they could take back, choices they wish they hadn't made. But I think ponies like to cover up our faults. It's so easy for us to gloss over our mistakes and make excuses for ourselves. That's okay in some cases, but when you fucked up on a grain of scale as I had, you need to look back and kick yourself, else you just keep fucking up. I'm rambling again. Point is, I messed up. Maybe if it had only been post-haste, I would have been able to get over it. But it wasn't. I, in my immense wisdom, had managed not only to have Karkuf burned, but also the entirety of Celestia's vision slaughtered in retribution. Of course, that wasn't all I'd done. If we wanted to take a tally of all the horrible things I'd done, we'd have to go back a ways, and I'm sure it'd take hundreds of thousands of words to properly describe. But the worst things I did, I think, were against foals. From foundation to post-haste, I failed them all. Hell, not 20 minutes after Raiders killed Mischief. Remember him, precocious watcher scamp I met way back in Bridal Hope? I always wondered if he knew Serenity. I offered to work for said Raider squad. The work I got involved me killing an innocent. Nanny Jane was not innocent, but at the time I thought she was. And kidnapping another filly who I nearly sold to the same Raiders that had killed Mischief. In the end, I hadn't, of course, but getting that close had been bad enough, and those were not even the worst of my crimes. Wildfire used to tell me I was a natural with foals. A natural killer, maybe, but I'm not sure what else. So that left me in an awkward position. Somehow, I needed to reform, do better, be better, or hell, I'd settle for just not fucking up anymore. Yet I was not sure how I was supposed to go about that. Should I wander the wasteland, righting wrongs and saving ponies like the Lightbringer? Or should I stay in Dais, fighting petty crime like the Batmare? Would either of those things really be penance for my numerous crimes, or just a way to try and forget what I did? Would any number of raiders killed or ponies saved really make up for post-haste? Or would it just be me trying to go out in a flame of glory, my death for a noble cause somehow wash and clean my record? These were questions for a smarter pony. A part of me longed to fix my past, but I couldn't, so I had to try and help the future. I doubted it ever removed the guilt or the dreams. So I decided to try and fix things here in Dais. Maybe Mr. House wasn't the best that Dais had to offer, but he was the only pony I could think of capable of uniting the city. If I could do that, somehow break the stalemate of war that captured the city and create a place where ponies could live unmolested, then maybe I could die happy.
But I'm not sleepy, Serenity pouted up at me.
Happiness. I probably didn't deserve this moment. What if I read you a story? I asked. We were still lying on the floor of the infirmary, but it was getting late. Hayes had popped in a few minutes ago, saying she was going to put the other children to bed, but that Serenity could sleep in here if she wanted. Obviously, as a filly, she took offense to sleeping. Ever.
I'm not a little foal. I don't need a bedtime story.
I raised a single eyebrow at Serenity.
But?
There was a burning in my shoulder as she levitated a book from her saddlebag and propped it up against my outstretched leg.
I would really like one.
I smiled down at her, but she didn't look up. I knew at least part of her still hadn't forgiven me for what had happened, but I think she was trying to move on. She was willing to give me another chance, and that was more than I was willing to give myself. Looking down at the book, I found I knew the words already. Once upon a time, in the magical land of Equestria, I read flawlessly. It was strange. I never did have the chance to read this to Foundation. I'm sure she would have liked it, though. There were two regal sisters. I'm sure you know the song. There was a good sister and a bad sister, and for some reason the good sister banished the bad one to the moon because the bad one was feeling unloved. Well, maybe stories aren't as clear-cut as we wanted to believe. Maybe both sisters had good and bad, and both had made bad choices that they felt were necessary.
Or maybe I was grasping at straws to bring them down to my level. The story ended with Twilight Sparkle and her friends using the elements of harmony to defeat Discord, bringing peace to Equestria for another 1,000 years. Well, at least the book had an optimistic view of the future, even if it got a few things wrong. It was a nice story, though, with a happy ending. More than I could say about any story I knew. When I looked down at Serenity, I realized she was flopped over my leg, her eyes closed and snoring softly. I couldn't give her up, not after everything that had happened, not when she was like this. I had tried to force her away, tried to make her leave, because I cared about her too much. So, I guess I could go on and on about my conflicted feelings and regrets and stuff, but I think I've made my case. I was going to try to do better by her, create a place where she could live unmolested. If she wanted to come with me, even after everything, then I wouldn't try to stop her. In my head, she was already my daughter, despite everything. Yes, I know it doesn't make sense. It's a deeply confusing and complicated issue, so hard to wrap my stupid head around. Truthfully, I'd seen her as my daughter ever since the tunnels, but I was scared. Can you blame me after what had happened? So I had freaked out. That cost me an eye and a good chunk of my soul, and part of me still argued it was the right choice. Stupid brain makes sense. See, this is why I bottle up my emotions, because when I didn't, they made no sense and conflicted with each other. Right, I need to pause my navel gazing and get the filly to bed. Luckily, Serenity was as sound a sleeper as ever, so it was easy to lift her up to the hospital bed and tuck her in without her opening an eye. It was harder to look away from her sleeping form. There were more of those conflicted feelings, of course. It seemed par for the course recently. Mostly now it had to do with how I saw her. In my mind, she was a sweet, innocent pony, and for the most part, that seemed true. On the other hoof, she had admitted to trying to manipulate me, even if she didn't fully understand what she was doing. So that left me where, exactly? One of these days, I'll come to a conclusion about something eventually. I swear.
Is she asleep?
I turned my head sharply to see the blue alicorn, Platinum Haze, standing in the doorway.
You must be good. Last night it was a chore getting her to sleep, though I am sure you bear some of the blame for that.
She smiled just a little bit, but I couldn't read her intentions.
I had an easier time getting all the others under my charge to sleep than that one. I don't know how you manage.
What was it Cerny said about the Watchers? That they were nice and kind, but never seemed to care about her? That she was just another child to them? I had no doubt about Hayes's motives or ability. But would she really be able to care for Serenity the way she needed it? Practice, I said.
You must teach me someday. For all that she said about you last night, seems she has taken you back with surprising quickness.
Because I gave her the love and attention she desired, maybe? Even if I, myself, wasn't sure why I was giving it. We were, like, the most messed up family in the wasteland. We could defeat raiders with the pure force of our emotions. Maybe, I said.
You spoke many more words to me earlier. Why the brevity now?
You mean when you mind-raped me into an emotional breakdown? Yeah, that was totally normal for me. With a sarcastic roll of my eyes, I pointed my head at the sleeping filly.
Oh, perhaps we should converse in a place that will not disturb any pony.
You don't say, I said quietly. She led me out of the infirmary and down a small hallway of the school structure. It really was surprising how much she and her partner had managed in such a short time. I mean, it looked mostly clean. Cleaner than any section of tunnel I'd seen, and considering how dirty the tunnels around here were, it was impressive. If I were a normal pony, I'd worry about how they planned to feed, clothe, and care for all the foals they were kidnapping, rescuing, whatever. But that hardly seemed important as Hayes walked in front of me, her hips swaying as she walked. I mean, I wasn't a filly fooler, but I was staring so hard I thought for sure the Super Alicorn's senses were going to notice. Stop judging me.
Are you feeling okay?
She asked as we were a ways down the dank hallway. I said, staring at a particularly large crack hastily covered up with tape. Well, I'm a one-eyed tank with crippling attachment issues, so...
I mean, I saw you injecting yourself with a Medex when I came in. If you are hurt, I can take a look.
Oh, did I mention I had developed a headache from all the emotional thinking stuff and I had taken a Medex to release some of the pressure? It wasn't that big a deal, so I didn't think it was worth mentioning. It's nothing, I said. I couldn't see her face, so I couldn't judge her emotions, but I was just going to assume she understood. Where are we heading?
To my room.
The narration will continue after I drag my head out of the gutter.
You will need a place to sleep tonight, and I don't imagine you'd like to bed down with the foals.
Of course.
Since I will not be using it, you can have my bed.
A light flickered to my right, almost causing me to jump. Liking that whole sight thing on that side can be tricky. I felt like some pony was constantly sneaking up on me. I said again. Right, talking. You don't sleep?
Well, it is complicated.
Don't tell me then, I wouldn't understand. Why did it seem that everything having to do with these alicorn things was complicated?
We can sleep, but it is not necessary unless we are injured and have no radiation to heal with.
They heal with radiation? Well, that didn't sound very healthy to me. Of course, I was not a master of health and safety, so I didn't express my disbelief. Alicorns just worked funny, I guess. They were magical and did magic stuff with magic. That's all I needed to know. And they were pretty.
I see, I said.
You do not understand at all, I'm going to assume. That is okay. We are strange creatures, I am sure.
Yeah, something like that.
Right this way, she said before stepping through the doorway. She had to duck.
The room was, sparse. Half the floor was covered by a giant pile of rubble. I guess when they were cleaning out the school, the junk had to go somewhere. And the only furniture was a shockingly clean mattress on the floor that I wasn't even sure she could fit on. The lights that usually lined the walls in the tunnels seemed half out, too, giving the room a dark, foreboding feeling. Okay, that wasn't true. The dim lighting reminded me more of the moon.
Are you blushing?
Ach, no, I was not. I stormed in and looked away from her, but I couldn't avoid her chuckle.
It is fine. I find it cute.
Wait, what?
I mean, that is not the intent I was... What I had in mind, what I meant to say was,
socially awkward alicorns are the best alicorns. It's fine, I said and collapsed on the bed. Somehow it felt like the Med-X had worked its way through my system already. Slip of the tongue, calling me cute. I closed my eye and wished I had a pillow. It'd be so very nice, though I did not enjoy the idea of actually going to sleep. Nightmares and all that.
No, I mean, you are cute. But it was improper to say in such a nonchalant way.
She seemed to speak in an uncomfortable titter, a far cry from her attempt at pompous regality at first. Of course, that all went away when she messed up that spell of hers.
I mean, you have a lovely face, not counting the eye or the ear. But I mean, I really like your mane.
I laughed. I knew it was a little rude, but it was hard not to. I mean... You spend your entire life putting off the advances of a mare like Wildfire, whose special talent was flirting, I swear, and it's hard not to find her attempts just a little silly. She stopped.
I am not very good at this, am I?
Not really. I opened my eye to see her standing back, a faint blush in her cheeks. I wasn't even sure why she was trying at all. I mean, she knew I was dangerously emotionally unstable, and it wasn't like I was exceptionally pretty. Okay, sure, I was the first pony she'd met in Dais who hadn't tried to kill her. And yes, I get that she was previously part of a hive mind, and it must be jarring being alone after so long like that. Okay, so I guess it made a little bit of sense.
I am sorry. It is uncouth of me.
Uncouth? I did not know what that word meant. Let's see. Un made the word negative, so she was clearly not couth. And couth sounded like coo, and yeah, I was lost.
It is just, when I saw you staring at me, I thought perhaps you had an interest. It does not matter. My apologies.
You need practice, I said with half a smirk.
I used to be quite practiced.
I couldn't tell if she was honestly insulted or faking it.
Before Unity, that is. I had acquired many mare friends, and they all praised me on my flirting skills.
It was a struggle not to laugh some more.
Stop laughing at us.
I wasn't, really.
We are not to be mocked. This is the truth we have told.
I'm not laughing.
'Tis a lie. I can hear you.
She blushed a bit, but kept her eyes on me.
You shouldn't mock us, me, like that.
She fidgeted awkwardly.
I am sorry for trying. I understand now that you were not interested.
Nothing against you, I said. You just made me relive my ex-mare friend's death a few hours ago, and I wasn't in the cuddling mood. I'm not a filly fooler. And then she was laughing at me. Well, it was more of a nicker, but it was close enough that I counted it. But I'm not, really. She kept on laughing. She knew me all of a few hours at the very most. How could she possibly know my preferences? I don't care what any pony says. I was not that obvious.
If you remember, I saw you staring at me with your own eyes.
With that stupid memory spell, right.
And you are not the most convincing liar.
I was the most convincing, ever. I'd managed to get every pony I met to buy into the whole my name is hired gun thing, despite it being a really stupid name, though not so stupid as Dragon Slayer.
I suppose after what you went through tonight, it is a bit early, but it matters not, sorry.
You apologize too much, I said. She also seemed to pace as she talked, speak in plurals, and explain her thought processes out loud. If you were wondering my opinion on her, which you weren't. I began, and stopped. I was going to say, was not looking for a mare friend, because I wasn't a... You know what? Fuck it. I was a filly fooler. There, I said it, wrote it, whatever. I was deeply enamored with the cunts and asses of the female persuasion. Despite my reservations at this revelation, it was getting harder and harder to live with a charade. And while it still made me uncomfortable thinking myself as such, it was so clearly true and obvious that there simply was no point in lying about it, even if I really, really wanted to lie. It was just so much nicer in my closet. Maybe because of my stupid mind, stallion and mares was the way it was supposed to be, and the fact that I deviated from my stupid mind's stupid rules made me question how much power I had over my life. Are we happy now? Huge revelation over. Now if only ponies, Flair, would stop bugging me about it. I hadn't thought about it, I said quietly. I mean, companionship was not something I was against, but this was a bit sudden. She was pretty, I suppose. Well, mind-bogglingly beautiful, but that was, my train of thought got lost somewhere. Right, just because she was good-looking was not a good foundation for a relationship. A great foundation for a good lay, though, and... Ooh, metal images, fuck. Oh, bad choice of words. Okay, breathe, Silver.
Are you all right?
Fine, I was just fine, just the mental images. Right, going back to not being a filly fooler. That was fun while it lasted.
I have made this all very awkward, haven't I?
It's fine, I said. With a tired grunt, I lifted myself off the bed and trotted over to her. I just need to sleep and think. Not that I wanted to. Navel gazing was hard work. And it's just sudden.
In my experience, the wasteland can be quick and brutal. So much has changed in barely 2 weeks. It is. So many of my sisters have died, and... If one does not act quickly, then they may lose. I'm sorry for being so forward.
No, don't worry about it. At least you're honest, I said. I gave her a half-hearted smirk, but she seemed a little bit down from my rejection thing. Stupid, cute, pouty goddesses. I was going to regret this, I knew. I leaned up and kissed her. She gave a murmur of surprise before a sigh of acceptance. It wasn't the best kiss I'd ever had, but it felt like a huge weight had been lifted off my shoulders. As much as I didn't want to admit it, I really needed some pony. It was comforting to have that kiss, even if it only lasted a second. I knew it! My eyes snapped open, and I turned my head to see Flair grinning from ear to ear at me, his eyes sparkling with what must have been 1,000 jokes. Fuck. What the hell are you doing here? I said after High Stakes, who also showed up, pulled me off of Flair. I gave Flair my very best glare and scowled at him, while I secretly wondered where Hayes went as I couldn't see her. My question was answered quickly for once when she appeared out of thin air, blushing slightly. Some crazy mare dressed as a bat showed up in my hotel room. We had the door locked and everything, and poof, there she is. Told us you needed us, so we come down here to see you making out with what appears to be a goddess. And just let me say, damn, when you come out of the closet, you come out with a bang. It was just a misunderstanding, I said, giving a glancing look over to Hayes, who was sitting meekly on the bed beside me. Oh, did you misunderstand? Flair flapped his way over until he was right in my face. I saw you, he poked my nose, kissing you. He waved his other hoof at Hayes, who meeped and blushed, ungoddess-like. This is like blackmail heaven.
To be perfectly clear, Mr. Flair, was it?
Hayes had managed to get past her embarrassment quickly as she stood with her wings outstretched threateningly. Flair sunk back to the ground, nodding.
I do not know who or what you think you are, but this place is meant to be a secret. and if you cannot keep these secrets fully, then there will be other ways to make you.
It may have been my imagination, but her yellow eyes seemed to be glowing.
Are we clear?
Flair mumbled as High Stakes chuckled at him. Crystal, I like my Alicorn mare friend. She wasn't my mare friend, but it just seemed like a good thing to say.
So, are you going to explain what the fuck is going on down here? There ain't nothing good in these tunnels. They're crawling with ghouls, rad scorpions, and who knows what else.
Oh, right, with the explaining. Hayes explained what exactly was going on in this particular section of the Dyes tunnels. The rest of the tunnels were still up for grabs. And I explained why I had told ponies about it. Or rather, told some pony to tell some pony. Mostly, it was so they knew where I was, as I had descended into the questionable depths of the Dyes underground, and oftentimes that's unsafe.
Ain't never heard of no followers of the apocalypse, said Flair, who was hanging upside down in the air. And let me compliment the name choice. It really screams saviors. Seriously, trust us. But I did see an alicorn or two. Went on an escort mission a while back to try and open up relations with a group up there. Something about an eye or something.
He smirked, or frowned. Being upside down, it confused me for a second.
Anyway, the deal was a bust, and I saw one of those alicorns. Come to think of it, they looked a bit different than you. The ones I saw looked like twins, but, it's been a while.
Red Eyes Army, High Stakes said. The name made Hayes go rigid. Apparently, she knew it. I worked for him a long time ago, but left just around the time he started contacting the Alicorn emissaries regularly. His glasses shined. I made a rule of working for whoever paid the most, but even I could see that Unity was up to no good. Considering the events in Equestria recently, I can safely say I made the right choice.
I bet he actually got fired and was hiding it.
Unity was up to good, Hayes said sharply. Though perhaps our methods required more thought, the goal was true. Alicorns are better suited for life in the wasteland. Radiation heals us, and we are immune to taint, both of which would kill a regular pony. I fail to see how making every pony an alicorn would be a bad thing.
Now wait, young missy, hold it. You've gone and oversold it.
Flair landed on the ground with a thud and pointed a hoof dramatically. With a sigh, I laid down on the mattress and closed my eye. This was a fight for smarter ponies.
I know for a fact that UND couldn't even make male alicorns, or alicorns out of anything but unicorns.
There was a brief pause.
What? I've read the reports. They weren't my reports, mine, but I had to steal them, but I read them.
We were working on ways around those issues. If we had had a little more time, we...
Her voice slowly faded away as I drifted off to sleep.
What?
It was a really boring topic. I don't want to talk about my dreams. I'm just going to say that they weren't suitable for foals or the elderly. And it was very nice. Don't judge me.
Alicorn's this far south. I tell you what, I ain't never thought I'd see him this far, you know? It's madness, madness!
The overdramatic stallions whose voice I awoke to was Flair's, as if there was ever any doubt. I could already tell that I had only slept for a few hours by how tired I still was, and sore. For some reason, my head was pounding worse than from a hangover. I'd take a Med-X, but I didn't want to have to explain myself to the likes of Flair and High Stakes.
It's not so strange. With the goddess defeated and Red Eye dead, they must go somewhere. Platinum Hayes claims to be from the city before her turning, so it's logical that she would wish to return here.
Stop using that fancy logic thing and let me have my emotional overexcitement.
Flair, you're loud, I grumbled and my eye opened. Lazily, I scratched my eye patch. My eye seemed to itch when I woke up. How annoying. High Stakes was lying on the floor as Flair flapped around him. As I slowly got to my hooves, I could feel a slight burning in my shoulder. Where did Hayes go?
One of her foals went to bed, and she had to go deal with that, Flair nickered before gliding over to me. Now, are we glad Serenity don't do that? Honestly, I don't know how she plans to deal with all these kids. I mean, sure, she has unlimited cosmic powers, but that don't mean dick when you gotta deal with foals, am I right?
Totally. Kids were trouble. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Also, I spoke entirely in cliches right after waking up.
Yeah, I said, stifling a yawn. I should still be asleep. That would be nice.
She seems nice enough, Hired.
High Stakes was giving me his chiding tone, so I prepared myself.
But I would advise caution if you plan on pursuing a relationship with an alicorn. They are notoriously unstable.
And I wasn't. Not like I was slowly going crazy and hearing my dead mare friend whisper in my ear constantly or anything.
It is ultimately your decision, but I would rather you not become a spatter on the wall. Right,
I said, and stumbled up off the bed. I'm not a filly fooler. Okay, I was for all 5 minutes. And it wasn't going to. I barely know her. There's a saying in the wasteland, you're going to die young, so live fast. It was by that motto that the population of the wasteland continued to be replenished despite the high death rate. Though repopulation was hardly an issue in this case, the rest of it still applied. It wouldn't be fair to Hayes if I accepted her clumsily made offer anyway. Not with that whole wildfire landmine ready to explode at any given time. Watch as I attempt to logically address my emotional issues, because that always works.
If you say so, but you seem pretty invested in that kiss from where I was standing, High Stakes said.
Right, when I want your opinion, I'll ask.
Hyde, really? Flair said. Maybe you should listen to the opinions of others, because when you don't, you go crazy and shoot colts, and...
Before I even had a chance to charge him, High Stakes zipped in front of me with a stern glare.
Right, touchy subject, got it. Think y'all need to get over shit like that, you dig?
Flair?
I tried to warn him.
Just hear me out for once before kicking me into next week. I mean, the way I figure...
He gave me a pleasant smirk.
The world we live in thrives on misery and hate and all that lovely stuff. It's trying to make all the ponies into mopey mopes, like you. So best way to fight back is to smile. World wants to kick you down, so grin at it, because it can't take away your ability to smile, and by doing so, you beat the wasteland at its own game. A personal rebellion, and it works so well.
He smiled.
If the wasteland could talk, it'd be flipping its shit right now.
High Stakes, of course, threw in his two bits.
While I am fairly sure that the wasteland lacks an anthropomorphic representation to personally try to make your life miserable, Flair is not without a point. Studies done before the war showed that smiling actually improved one's mood. There was a pause as I tried to comprehend that statement. Mind you, those studies were performed by the Equestria Ministry of Morale,
and I wasn't sure what that meant. I guess it was humorous because Flair was certainly laughing. No thanks. I dismissed the entire idea out of huff on principle.
Thanks, Flair snickered. That was very nearly polite, Hyde. We're very worried you're losing your touch. Just be a little bit ruder for old time's sake. Your mare friend must be making you soft.
Gonna kill him, I swear.
Oh, you fell asleep before we could give you something. So hold off on the ass-kicking. Mr. High Stakes, if you will.
The tall stallion nodded, and at once my shoulder began to burn, and his horn glowed. Actually, my shoulder had been burning sporadically since I woke up. My mind was torn away from the mini-mystery when I saw what they had brought for me.
Subtly!
And I grabbed my weapon in my forelegs and caressed it gently. I was never going to go without it again. The poor thing. I've been neglecting it so much recently, and it really needed to be cleaned and maintained. The poor thing.
I guess I owe you 20 caps, the unicorn said.
And you doubted me. Hyde loves that gun more than damn near anything. I was surprised she let it go in the first place.
I could hear Flair smirk. I'm not sure how, but I just knew he was. And there was my shoulder burning again. Right, I still need to deal with that.
Thanks.
Two thanks in a single conversation. Maybe I was going soft.
Oh, Batmare, you can come out now.
With a flash, the dark-clad mare was standing between us all, her mask glaring, because masks can do that.
How did you...
she said before stopping. I had to turn from her to attach the gun onto my saddle, but I was totally paying attention.
I suppose this is another one of those things you do not wish to explain.
When my shoulder burns, there's magic around. Explaining didn't matter because I didn't understand.
How long have you been listening? High Stakes demanded,
his voice unnaturally tense. I wasn't entirely sure why, but whatever bugged him was okay with me.
Not long. I have only just returned for a matter most urgent.
Oh. I turned back to see the remains of a blush on High Stakes' cheeks. What is it? I asked and turned back to the Batmare only after reattaching the gun onto my back, just where it belonged.
A matter most urgent.
Right, I thought. You said that. Care to explain?
Recently there has been a rash of sickness in the slums in Eastern Dais. From my studies I have deduced that the water fountains are the issue.
I heard the exact same thing on the radio a day before, but I failed to see her point.
I believe it has been poisoned.
My ears perked up. Now that was something.
If it is true, the culprit might try again tonight, but I am only a single pony. The more fountains that are observed, the more likely we can find the perpetrator. I am asking for your assistance, and to fulfill your duty as my sidekick.
Wait, wait, wait. So Hyde here is a superhero in training? She needs custom barden with that emblazoned on it. Flare flapped into the air so he could rub his chin. But that might take too long. Well, maybe if we make an acronym of it.
What? Make whatever you wish, but it must be tonight, and now. Your companions may help if you wish, yes.
The Batmare posed dramatically.
But we must be off before he can strike again.
What about Hayes? I said. It was impolite to leave like that.
Write her a note of something. Just hurry, Hyde. We're going to be superheroes.
Right. Got it, Flare. After I wrote a short note, sorry, have to fight crime, be back soon, the four of us left Hayes' room and started for the surface. I felt a bit ridiculous doing this thing, and High Stakes seemed to have his own reservations, but I had made a resolution to try to fix the ace. And letting ponies die of poison seemed to go against that entire goal. It was strange, though, going off to do a job without a direct paycheck waiting for me. At least I was sure this was something Serenity would approve of. Running sucked, and I wasn't very fast when no pony was in direct danger. Even High Stakes was about to outpace me by a few pony lengths, and that was not even getting into Flare and the Batmare, who had to slow down so they weren't miles ahead. On the plus side, this allowed me to hit myself with a Med-X when they turned a corner without me. My head was still pounding, and I didn't want to explain myself and run at the same time. The tunnels had been friendly to me lately. When I had first gone down them again, I had been sure I was going to be attacked by 50 packs of radioactive ghouls. While that was certainly still possible, it now seemed less likely. The tunnels we were in now were not only partly clean and well lit, but they even had ponies in it from time to time. Not many, but still. Of course, we ran past a half dozen rad scorpions, too. Remember that time I beat the Batmare with a bag of scorpions? Well, that was fun. Eventually, we reached our destination, which was, not surprisingly actually, a rickety set of stairs. What was surprising was that when we reached the top, we found ourselves in a ruined shack in the middle of the Eastern Dais slums. I'd been told multiple times that while the tunnels spread out across Dais like a web, all entrances in the city proper were owned by a gang or group or something. Yet here we were in the half-ruined, shoddily remade buildings of Eastern Dais, and no pony was stopping us.
So this is the entrance. High Stakes said. With a smirk, he looked around at the small shack before stepping through the door into the moonlight. Mr. House has heard rumors that an old entrance was being used by smugglers and traffickers.
With a flash of light, the Batmare stood before him, glaring through her mask.
If you inform any pony about this, I shall consider you an agent of chaos, and all who serve evil must be culled. You do not wish me for an enemy.
I'm pretty sure the Batmare would win. Her teleportation skills were just cheating. It'd be like being able to sense magic or something. Oh, wait. Speaking of sensing magic, I could feel a slight burn. I made a mental note to focus on it to make sure we weren't being snuck up on.
I would think not.
High Stakes glasses shone in the moonlight, I guess. Not sure what else was bright enough around. Actually, I've decided to stop thinking about it. Oh, High Stakes was still talking.
I see no reason to give this information away so freely. It could be valuable. To my safety, it seems.
He finished when he saw the superhero was still glaring at him.
Justice has its eye on you!
She shouted, far too dramatically and far too loudly, before vanishing and reappearing a few feet back.
I like her, Flare said. I shot him a look as he continued. She's insane, but at least she's amusing. And if she can do half of what she says she does, then she's helping to keep the forces of evil at bay.
I sighed and nodded along. I knew he wasn't being serious, but it was far too late for me to care. So instead, I walked out of the little shanty and did my best to remember where it was. I'd need to if I wanted to see Hayes again.
Sidekick!
The Batmare flashed in front of me.
Take the insolent one to the nearest fountain due west and keep to the shadows. The winged one can cover multiple sites. I shall be off on my own. If you manage to capture a dastardly villain, merely shout out my name and I shall be there.
Why shout? Why not something more subtle, like a searchlight shaped like a bat? No pony will notice us at all.
Right, I said.
Why was I doing this again? Right, because I decided to fix the ace. Whatever that meant.
Good. Get to work, brave soldiers of peace.
Poof. And she was gone just like that, leaving the three of us staring awkwardly at each other. So, I said slowly, looking between the two stallions. High Stakes coughed into his hoof.
So, guess I'll go, fly?
Flare vanished in a blur of blue, leaving me and the tall unicorn stallion I really never did like.
Why exactly did we agree to this again?
Stakes asked, trotting down a gloomy, rubble-filled street.
It's not like we are getting paid for this, and it seems out of your character to accept a job without so much as a second word.
Right. Now I was being lectured for not being greedy enough.
Things change, I said, and shrugged before stepping over a sleeping drunk.
Besides, poison water affects every pony. I drink two. It's in my best interest. And maybe, just maybe, this pony had an ulterior motive. If there was a crazy pony poisoning water, I wanted to know who hired him. And some pony did hire him. This was Dice, after all. Nothing happens on accident.
Really? Poison? There was a hint of amusement in his voice. Not sure why you care about a thing like that.
I did not comprehend. Not that it mattered. We had arrived at our destination. A small square shaped like a circle or something. A clearing place where ponies buy and sell stuff. With a small water fountain well thingy in the center. No ponies were there now, but the water was still flowing. Over here, I said. There was a small unused stand off to the side of the square or circle thing. I guess that during the day it was used to display a large quantity of questionable merchandise. But for now, it would serve as a hiding spot as we would be able to fit between it and the house wall it was up against. Though the wall had a window on it, I was sure no pony would look out and see us. We couldn't really see the fountain behind it, but we would hear if any pony was nearby. Or if a unicorn had a silent spell, like Serenity, I would be able to feel their presence. After we settled, I finally said, "What do you mean about poison?
Do you remember the land sharks?
The skyscraper-sized worms that tried to eat me? Oh, I forgot all about them, idiot." I nodded to keep him talking.
"Their poison is one of the most deadly ever researched in the wasteland."
This I knew also after what happened to Backup.
"You were bit by one."
"No, okay. That I actually forgot. I was bit, wasn't I? It wasn't one of the things that got extra attention during Hayes' spell, but I remember seeing something like that. Or it was my own fuzzy memory of the event."
"Right, so?" "You're not dead," he said, laying down beside me.
He was uncomfortably close, but it was the only way for both of us to fit in the hiding spot.
I
looked down and moved my hoof around.
"Nope, not dead, so?"
I'm sure he had a point in there somewhere, but I wasn't sure where.
"You should be dead. No pony has ever survived a bite from them until you."
"Okay, so I was a very lucky pony. What was the point?"
"There is a high likelihood you are immune to poison."
That didn't seem, possible.
"I'm not," I said, putting my head down. I could feel a slight burning in my shoulder, not coming from high stakes.
It was far enough away I didn't really worry about it.
"I got drunk last night."
He raised an eyebrow at me.
"I threw up. Alcohol poison. Means I can't be immune."
There was a second of shocked silence before he said,
"Good point. I did not consider that. Perhaps you are only immune to particular poisons, or, I don't suppose you would agree to undergo some testing."
"No."
"Oh, acceptable, I suppose. And I thought I was being clever and everything. Not that it would matter if you were poisoned anyway, according to Skyfall."
He spat. Really, he actually spat the name. Way to be dramatic.
"You are dying as it is. What's dying a few months earlier?"
He gave me a smirk. Was that supposed to be a joke? I certainly hope not. Besides, I wasn't dying. I had seen ponies die of sickness before, and they always seemed sick. I was healthy and strong and not coughing or anything.
There's no way Skyfall was right. Star metal or no, I had plans to live for long after he expected me to drop dead.
He was just trying to bug me or something. Pegasi were always trying to play pranks like that. Another few seconds of awkward silence passed.
"So, should we tell Serenity we know she's there?" I said. "Or should we wait a few minutes until she realizes?"
The unicorn tilted his head at me. I guess he didn't know. She'd been following us since we left the school. She was trying to be sneaky by using her spell. I guess she figured if she was far enough away, I wouldn't be able to sense it. Less than a second later, I felt something land on my head.
"How do you know?"
Serenity said loudly in my ear. She evidently had been hiding in the window above us.
"Magic," I rolled my eyes. "You should be asleep." She just giggled.
"Couldn't sleep. Hayes was being loud. I think she knocked something over."
That wasn't very surprising. She tried very hard, but was not nearly as graceful as you'd imagine a goddess to be.
"I, too, am curious how you were able to locate Serenity following us. I neither heard nor saw anything of the foal."
Did I really have to explain my special powers to every pony? Couldn't I just be awesome and not have to give exposition all the time? It was stupid. To that extent, I didn't explain and let Serenity do all the talking.
Hard's leg burns round magic,
Serenity said with confidence, only to amend her statement when she saw him staring at my flesh and blood leg curiously.
The other leg, silly, not the leg. Like the neural connection part thing.
She waved a hoof at my shoulder plate thingy.
She says it burns when some pony around her uses magic, and I think she can tell who's using it and how far away they are.
He stared blankly at me, no doubt wondering if we set this whole thing up just to mess with him.
I kind of wish we had, because it would make much more sense that way.
How can...
High Stakes paused and face-hoofed.
I suppose it matters not. No doubt you two have no idea the implications of what you just said.
His mouth kept moving, but his voice was cut off. I gave a slight chuckle at the pink glow around his head. Serenity's magic had so many uses. Unfortunately, High Stakes still had more to say. His horn began to glow as well, sending out rays of green light against the wall of pink. There was a brief, tense moment as the two beams fought against each other, but this only lasted a second before a spike of light shattered through, lighting the area in a green glow. As soon as that happened, the battle of wills was over, and the pink aura dissipated into mist.
Impressive.
There was a faint smile on High Stakes' lips.
You held that longer than I would have expected. You are talented for your age, it seems.
I'm basically in the top 10 most best unicorns in Dais,
she giggled. Clearly not sleeping made her hyper. To think I read her that story for nothing.
Morrowind taught it to me, and it's like the only spell I know besides telekinesis, of course, but I'm good at it.
That's the only spell he taught you?
She nodded. There was a look of confusion on his face that slowly faded.
Right, whatever. You two are very confusing, if you weren't already aware.
You're following us,
Serenity said right before jumping on top of the stand we were hiding behind and breaking her cover.
You don't gotta. I mean, you work for House, right? So you never have to come here at all. So if we're confusing, you're even more confusing for following confusing ponies into confusing places.
High Stakes stared up at Serenity as his brain tried to process the information.
Your filly is far too logical. I hope you realize this.
No shit.
You two couldn't be more different.
Sure we could.
I mentally prepared myself for more impeccable logic.
Hire could be a hellhound, or a minotaur, or a griffin, or a discord.
Yes, I suppose those things would be fairly different. I'm not sure I'd want to be any of them either. I mean, between being bipedal winged or a chaos god thing, I'd still rather be an earth pony. It just made more sense.
Discord is not a species,
High Stakes pointed out. He was helpful like that. I was starting to think that he and the Batmare should be the ones teaming up. He was Captain Obvious, after all.
He is, or was a Draconicus. Harry can never be a Discord. That's not important.
You don't say. Serenity giggled and did her very best to stifle a yawn.
You're silly. I like you.
That can't be good. Last time she liked a pony, I had to drag them around everywhere. And okay, Flair had saved my ass once or twice, but still. Actually, never mind. Flair may have been spying on me, and I wasn't quite forgiving him. But overall, he'd been okay. At least he was amusing and reliable when he wasn't spying.
High Stakes looked away before continuing. I am glad I could please you then.
So,
Serenity said, leaning over the edge of her stand towards High Stakes.
Can you teach me any cool magic tricks?
The stallion groaned, but Serenity seemed not to hear.
Like a mustache one. Can you teach me? Flair would look so handsome with one, don't you think?
The night dragged on at an astonishingly slow pace. Yet no matter how long we waited, no pony besides the three of us entered the square. Maybe there was no poisoning pony, or maybe he was going to a different fountain, or perhaps we scared him away with all our chatter. And by our, I clearly meant Serenity's. I was content with listening and brooding over my mistakes. I won't go into that, though, for I am sure you are sick of it. Eventually, though, our, Serenity's, chatter died down. Little Philly was valiantly fighting her sleepiness, but it was just too late for her. Still, with a stifled yawn, an irritated twitch of her leg, Serenity jumped off my back and away from our little hiding place.
So bored,
she said, turning the corner. Serenity, I said. The stupid stain to my left just chuckled and shook his head.
Serenity, get back here.
There was once again no response.
Serenity, don't worry,
came the response, because that was not going to happen. With a sullen sigh, I stood up, my body towering over the stand that was our cover. It probably did a horrible job. Serenity was balancing on the rim of the water fountain, waving her forelegs on occasion as she tried to keep from falling.
Don't worry,
she said, licking her lips in concentration as she teetered on the thin lip.
Well, Serenity,
High Stakes stood beside me. He looked a little exhausted, and I couldn't really blame him.
We are supposed to be keeping watch for, our bad pony who was trying to hurt other ponies. When I was going to venture, Stakes wasn't really good with kids. Serenity managed to slowly lift her forelegs off the lip and balance just on her back ones. I was a little bit impressed.
The poisoner pony. I'm not stupid.
She giggled.
Besides, we've been waiting here forever. Ain't no pony showed up. What the chance of...
Why was my shoulder burning? There was a sudden bright flash. The light burned my eye, and I had to close it, but I could still hear the sounds of splashing. When I opened it again, I saw Serenity flailing around in the fetlock deep fountain, as the Batmare watched on with what I assumed was a frown on her face. After shaking her head, Serenity sat in the water, her mane dripping in her eyes, glaring at the superheroine.
"What are you doing out in the open?"
the Batmare scolded me, ignoring the glaring and wet filly climbing out of the fountain behind her.
"That is counterproductive to the mission. You are just..."
"You just teleported here in a flash of light," I helpfully pointed out. "Stealth doesn't seem to be the goal."
"What is she even... It matters not."
She posed herself dramatically as a wind blew out of seemingly nowhere to ruffle her cape.
"I have to address a matter most urgent. It seems there's a commotion in the very place the water is purified. The Water Purification Center."
"You don't say." "So," I said. The Batmare gave me a very hard stare. I assume, once again that damn mask. While High Stakes chuckled. Eventually, the would-be hero said,
"If you were trying to poison the denizens of Thais, could you think of a better place to do it?"
"Oh, wait. Yeah, I guess that made sense."
"Flare spotted flashes of light he claimed were most certainly explosions. We must be swift."
And she was off running. "Wait, I don't..." She turned the corner. "Fuck." I quickly ran over to Serenity and threw her on my back before giving chase. Damn fast Batmare. I turned the corner to see a long, empty street. Broken buildings rose on either side, their facades masked in the shadows of the night. Not that poetry helped me any.
"Do you even know where the water purification plant is located?"
High Stakes asked, standing beside me with a slight smirk. My silence seemed to be all the answer he needed.
"Follow me."
This time, when he took off, I followed right away. I really needed to get a map of the city. It'd save so much more time and effort. We exited the Dai slums and started down the eastern road that led to the city center. Serenity tugged on my ear as I ran, and she said into it,
"Is this a good idea?"
"You mean running towards explosions? Probably not. But if the Batmare was right, this pony needed an ass-kicking, and I was in the mood to grant him that. Besides, poison water does not generally cause a stable society."
"Not at all," I admitted.
"So why?"
I cut her off. "Some pony has to, and I'm free." I guess the answer worked, and she didn't question it further. When we reached the fountain in the center of the city, I found the Batmare perched on top of the pony statue in the center. Also, there was a small crowd of drunken ponies crowded around watching her.
"How did she get up there?"
I heard one pony ask. There was a murmur of questioning as the hero stood perfectly still staring down at me.
"Sidekick!"
she called when I got close, causing the whole crowd to turn in my direction. Fuck.
"What is taking you so long?"
I needed something to hide behind. Damn it, they were all staring at me. What I wouldn't give for the ability to teleport right about now.
"Well, say something!"
They were still staring at me. I hate crowds. I mumbled something at the ground and did my best to keep from blushing. I coughed into my hoof as one of the drunken ponies cheered. Great. "I was caught up. Thought I saw a robbery?" "Yeah, that was it. I had to go in justice or something."
"Yes, justice waits for no pony."
With a flash and a burning sensation, she appeared in front of me. A ragged cheer went up from the small crowd, and I thought I heard a few ponies stomping their hooves in approval.
"For now, we must be off. Follow me."
She took off again, this time traveling down the south road. Leaving the bewildered crowd behind me, I took off after her as Serenity giggled on my back. High Stakes was nice enough to slow down enough to keep pace with me.
"Why must we always run?"
He sounded more than a little bit tired. It was a good question, though. This Batmare seemed to always want to run everywhere. I'm sure it helped her superheroing, but I was getting tired of it. Oh well, keep running. As we ran, we passed a series of increasingly bewildered ponies. Hopefully none of them would recognize me. I really didn't want to be associated with the whack job of a superhero. Eventually, we moved past the two apartment buildings, one of which served as the Enclave home base, and even south past the Watcher camp. Not long after, we came upon a clearing and a split in the road. To my left, down a short straight road, was a huge dome building that seemed to emit an eerie green light that shone up the side of the dice wall it was built against. To my right was a huge compound of buildings surrounded by a large and imposing metal fence, complete with a barbed wire on top. The Batmare went right, so I followed.
As we closed in on the facility, I could clearly see three ponies standing in front of the large entrance gate and one on the other side. They seemed to be conversing casually until they saw us running up.
"Hey!"
the green earth pony shouted.
"You aren't allowed in here!"
The Batmare vanished. She reappeared a split second later, landing on the stallion's face with a resounding smack, hind legs first. She pushed off his head, sending him into the dirt and flipped through the air. She landed with an impressive kick to the second pony's side. The second pony grunted but kept her hooves, at the same time bringing her pistol around with magic. The bullets hit nothing but air. A series of flashes later, and the second pony was lying on the ground with most of her teeth cracked in. All this in mere seconds, while the third and fourth ponies yelled loudly into their radios. The Batmare flashed behind the fence, smashing the fourth pony's head against the console, an action that made the metal gate start to slide open. A second later, the fourth pony was thrown through the now-open gate directly into the third pony. With both of them crumpled over each other, the hero wasted no time appearing on top of them. With a few sharp cracks, they lay motionless. Maybe dead, but I wasn't sure. At this point, the first green stallion was starting to get back up. Luckily for me, I'd just gotten close enough. He turned his head towards the Batmare. It was so easy just to buck him. The impact shook up my legs and sent the poor buck flying through the open gate and sliding through the dirt. The Batmare gave me an appreciative nod as a roar ripped through the air coming from inside the facility. It was enough to send her running off again. I stood there a second as the ponies groaned in pain around me. It really was a good thing that mare was on my side. Sure, I managed to fight her to a draw, but I had an advantage. Any other pony didn't stand a chance. Even I just happened to get lucky. Then there was another explosion.
"Hired,"
Serenity said, jumping on my head.
"Shouldn't we go?"
Right, it was hero time. The hallway was bright, clean, and completely empty. I wasn't sure where Batmare ran off to, so me and High Stakes decided to go to the largest building and try to find the source of the commotion and, more importantly, find Flair, who had went to check it out ahead of us. Normally, he would have met us at the entrance or would have at least been able to hear him talking or something. I started down the hallway. The only sound was our collective. Serenity had decided to walk and apparently brought the gun I gave her at Kharkov. I'd forgotten about it in all the commotion. Hoof steps. We passed a few empty offices, but didn't have time to explore. Empty. Why was everything empty? The better question might have been, why was my shoulder burning even if it was empty? My two unicorn companions were not using magic, yet I could feel something. Even worse, it was something familiar. "Ever been in here?" I asked of no pony in particular as we walked down the long hall. Off at the end of the gray hall, I could see a set of double doors which seemed to be the best bet of where to look. It didn't help my gut that the closer we got, the more my shoulder burned. High Stakes spoke up.
"No, the Mustangs have always been very protective over this facility."
And yet, where was every pony? There should have been more than four guards. Something very strange was going on here, and if Mayhem didn't know now, he would soon. I'd hope not to be here when that happened.
"I think I should have stayed home. There's no way this will end well. I have a terrible feeling about this."
Way to jinx it.
"Maybe they all went to bed," Serenity said with half a yawn. I could see her watching the empty offices as we passed, just itching to go exploring.
"You don't believe that," I stated plainly. We were already reaching the end of the hallway.
"I'm just trying to be optimistic. You two look grim."
She snorted.
"Making the same face and everything."
"I'll be fine, Serenity. We just need to find Flair and leave this place. What happens here has little to do with us,"
High Stakes said. "Or," I said, reaching the door, "we could stop whatever's going on." I pushed the doors open slowly. "You know, do the right thing for a change." High Stakes could only smirk as I stepped through the door into a huge room. The large room stretched out impressively, but it had a noticeable lack of substance besides a low ceiling and some overhanging lights. This was because most of the room was a giant vat of water, save for a walkway around the edge of the room. Moving over to the edge of the walkway and leaning over the railings, I could see a huge pool of water. Bubbling, steaming water. Oh, and there was a rickety catwalk above the bubbling pool with two ponies on it. I guess I should have mentioned that first.
"Flair!"
High Stakes started running towards the catwalk.
"Idiot."
I looked at the catwalk again and saw why. Flair was being held over the bubbling lake by his neck by a minotaur wearing what looked like a blue uniform. That was easy enough. I just had to scope subtly and fucking hell. In my rush to be reconnected with my favorite gun, I accidentally mounted it on my right side. I couldn't scope with a missing eye and I couldn't shoot from the shoulder with Flair so close. So I had to start running too.
I reached the rickety catwalk just as Flair looked over at us and grinned.
"About time," Flair yelled over at us. "I've been stalling to show you."
Flair was shut up when the Minotaur punched him. The blue Pegasus ducked the blow and slammed his hoof against the Minotaur's uniform, leaving something with a blinking light sticking to it.
"You this!"
With a flap of his wings, the Pegasus detached himself from the monstrous beast and zoomed away. At the same time, the Minotaur desperately clawed at his shirt. He managed to tear it off and throw it down the catwalk before it exploded. The explosion shook the walkway, sending me stumbling to a knee. High Stakes behind me fell too, and Serenity, I was sure, felt it. As smoke started to rise, I waved a hoof at High Stakes.
"The catwalk is too small for two. Get Serenity, I'll deal with—"
He was already gone when I looked and talking to Flair with a look of relief on his face. So, I guess it was Ignore the Leader Day. I turned back to the Minotaur and got myself a good long look as he slowly struggled to his hooves after being knocked over from the blast. Unlike Ginger, his coat was a deep blue, and he didn't seem nearly as buff as the Watcher's pet Minotaur. In addition, his horns spiked straight up as opposed to the curled ones on Ginger. How the fuck did he get in here without anybody noticing? As he stood to his true, impressive, and bipedal height, he didn't seem nearly that stealthy. That was until his hand glanced a device on his waist. With a crackling fizzle, he vanished from sight, and my shoulder started to burn.
"You can use magic?" I spurted out.
There was a barking laugh, but no answer. It didn't matter. Fuck Minotaurs.
Silver charge.
He may have been able to turn invisible, but that didn't mean shit to me. I was able to turn and buck exactly where he was. My hind legs connected with his chest, turning his laugh into a hacking cough. I couldn't see him, but I could feel the burning fade slightly as he backed up. Booyah, my superpowers were improving. It was just enough I could close in, rear, and kick him, much to his surprise.
"How can you see me, pony?"
I heard a disembodied voice growl. Then the burning shifted subtly sideways as if he had jumped off, but down there was boiling water and steam. And that would be suicidal, and... The burning was behind me. I tried to turn, but in the narrow corridor I couldn't manage it quick enough. A sharp pain in my back sent me face first into the steel grating. Pain flared up my back from another hit. Before I could try to crawl back up, I was lifted into the air by my hind legs. Flailing my forehooves around, I tried to kick something, anything, but I couldn't connect. I could feel him staring at me, but I was looking at thin air. Actually, I was looking at the end of the catwalk as Serenity and High Stakes watched on. They could have shot him at any moment, but no doubt they were afraid of hitting me. Thanks.
"You ponies are an annoyance," the voice growled. "I am trying to do my job, not deal with
feathers." Flair slammed into the Minotaur. I hoped it was enough to distract him. I started swinging back and forth. Back in Marefort, I could trapeze my way around like no other, and I still knew how. My forehooves connected with the beast's invisible chest, and he dropped me on my head. After crying out in pain, I rolled onto my hooves, rubbing the back of my head. The burning sensation was moving again, but this time I saw a flicker as his device weakened. It was just enough for me to see him swinging along the outside of the safety bars with his stupid hands. They must have been so useful. So I saw where his hand was, raised my hooves, and stepped on it, inciting a cry of pain from the Minotaur and a creak from the catwalk.
"You stupid little pony!"
Something grabbed me. The beast tugged me with his scareless strong arms and pulled me over. Turning, I managed to hook my cybernetic leg onto the edge of the railing. This still left me dangling over a vat of boiling water. The steam it was releasing was making me hot and sweaty and slick. I could almost feel myself starting to slip.
"Stupid pony!"
The field of magical whatever faded, leaving me staring over the railing at a pissed-off blue Minotaur holding a mangled hand with his good one.
"Just trying to do my job!"
The monster grabbed my metal hoof.
"So piss off!"
There was a gunshot, and a splash of blood came out of the creature's already injured arm, and off to the side I could see High Stakes lining up another shot. It didn't get the chance, though, as while the Minotaur backed up down the walkway, I felt something pushing me up from behind.
"You're too fat,"
Flair grunted before dumping me on the grate.
"Go kick his ass already."
"Right, got it." I scrambled to my hooves, feeling weak catwalk shift under them. The explosion of flares must have done a number on it, and this fighting wasn't helping.
"Stupid pony,"
the Minotaur grunted, holding his arm, but doing little to stop the blood flowing down it and dripping into the water underneath the grate.
"Don't make me hurt you."
He took a step forward.
"Leave now."
"You work here?"
I asked. He kept saying he had a job. I wasn't sure if he was working here or sabotaging the facility, but I had to try to ask.
"Is that it?"
I shut my mouth as he lowered his head and started charging.
Lowering myself, I lifted up my metal leg. With a smash and a shriek from Serenity behind me, his horns pierced through my leg, but stopped centimeters from my face. Their points were a bit too sharp, and a bit too right in my face. With a grunt, I lowered myself more.
Stay!
I lashed out with all my strength. Back! The horns ripped through my leg in a shower of sparks and wires, but he was sent into the air. He landed with a crack on his back, grunting and gasping for air.
Now,
I said with a stomp of my hoof, do you work here? The catwalk shifted. With an echoing crack, the whole platform started tilting down, sending us both sliding down towards the boiling water. Shit, shit, shit. Flailing over the side, I managed to hook a leg on a railing, leaving me dangling on a catwalk that was only getting steeper by the second. With my hind legs dangling, I looked further down to see the Minotaur barely holding onto the grate with his one good arm. With a grunt, he tried to climb up, but between me and high stakes, his other arm was useless. I really didn't want him to die. I have no idea why. I must have been getting soft.
Stay still. I think I can carry you, Flair said, his wings beating fast. Just,
he started groping at me. I could feel my legs slipping from the steam, but I shook my head.
Grab the Minotaur,
I said with a grunt. The Pegasus looked like he was about to laugh.
Seriously, he might know what's going on.
There was more confusion on his face. Idiot. It wasn't like we were the only opponents here.
High stakes. Levitate me up.
He did just try to murder me. That sort of thing doesn't lend well to my heroic instincts.
The catwalk cracked and shifted, nearly making me lose my grip.
And he's heavy. I ain't that strong, and if he struggled, he might...
Flare?
My voice brokered no argument.
Just do it.
Fine, fine, but if we all die, I refuse to take the blame.
He floated down and grabbed at the blue beast with his two forelegs.
Now hold on tight, and no more choking me.
The beast nodded its bull-like head and held on as tight as he could with his good hand. Slowly, Flair managed to drag him up through the air, but only by flapping his wings as fast as they could go. Good.
High stakes?
He lifted me back in the BS, so he should be able to do it again. The stallion nodded, and I felt myself go weightless as his horn started to glow a pale green. More layers of light were added to his horn as I was slowly lifted up. I could see sweat forming on his brow, and he grit his teeth. Apparently, telekinesis was not his forte, but he still managed to lift me close. That was until I dropped. My heart fell into my chest. I was falling. I slammed into the metal catwalk with enough force to snap it. Fuck, it was falling. Flailing my hooves around, I prayed to Celestia I'd grow wings. The metal catwalk hit the water with a splash of scalding liquid. I covered my face. This was gonna suck. Nothing. I stopped. Opening my eyes, I saw myself centimeters from the water with a green and pink bubble surrounding me. With my heart in my throat and steam in my face, I was slowly, much too slowly, levitated up and deposited beside my very tired-looking friends. High Stakes was sweating and looked drained, while Serenity just laid on the ground with her eyes closed. She done good.
So,
Flair dropped the Minotaur a meter off the ground. The creature landed with a thud and grunted.
Are you going to explain why you almost got yourself killed for the sake of the thing that tried to kill us?
Right. I stood slowly to my hooves and fell over as my metal leg gave out. Landing nose first into the concrete, I swore as loud as I could. Before I could do anything else, Serenity was standing beside me, her eyes wide as she looked at my leg.
No! Look what you did to it! She yelled, glaring at the Minotaur.
Ah! She dug strips of metal and wires from her bag, as well as a series of tools I really didn't know how to describe.
Can you fix it?
I asked. Yeah, I know Flair had asked a question, but this was more important. And he seemed busy talking to High Stakes anyway. Serenity frowned at me, sighed, and went back to work on my leg.
No, but I can make it work well enough till we can get better supplies.
She licked her lip and started laying out some wires from her bag.
Right.
I looked up at Flair and the Minotaur, who was sitting pleasantly on the ground with his arms crossed.
Can some pony or someone explain to me what is going on?
The Minotaur looked at me blankly as if I was already supposed to know. Clearly what we had here was a failure to communicate.
You attacked us, the beast said. How can you not know?
Attacked you? Flair spoke up. We're in Daiz, not wherever it is you're from. Some pony was exploding open locked doors or some shit, so I went in to investigate and saw you.
He pointed his hoof dramatically.
You're lucky I didn't kill you outright. After what your people have been doing, you're lucky we don't kill you, you lying liar who lies.
Wait, what?
Stupid ponies.
He fidgeted at the device on his belt.
I work here. You should not be seeing me.
He fidgeted some more.
We are not supposed to be seen. You are not with them, are you?
I shook my head.
This is not good, then. Not good at all.
He slowly got to his hooves.
My name is Unbreakable Will. My clan has agreed to work with the group you know as the Mustangs in exchange for clean water and information. We are better suited to perform the tasks needed to keep the facility operational.
Right. Hands sure seemed like they'd be useful.
All right.
High Stakes had a devious smirk on his tired face.
You are saying that Mayhem has hired Minotaurs? As in the same Minotaurs currently camped across Canyon Ridge Bridge with a huge army? The ones that sacked Hooftown a year back and painted the river red with blood?
He winced a little bit at the accusation, but didn't say no. At the mention of Hooftown, Serenity, for a reason I didn't understand, took Scudaborg out of her saddlebag and let her watch.
Do you have any idea how much this information is worth?
He laughed bitterly.
Oh, don't worry. I won't sell this little tidbit. I'm keeping this for a rainy day.
We were not meant to be seen for this reason, he sighed. It does not matter now. My clan members have gone dark, as was instructed. Most have gone to inform Mayhem, but I am not sure we have the time. The white-faced pony came, and his ponies overpowered the guards silently. I fear it may have been an inside job. He seemed to know when and where to hit, and all the alarms were deactivated beforehand.
That couldn't be good. White-faced pony, I asked.
Maybe the Laughing Stallion? Flair said, flapping into the air, a little annoyed he fought a Minotaur for nothing. I heard he paints his face white or something.
Creepy, I guess.
Kind of a strange coincidence if it was him, though. Just happening to be involved in this and his arch-nemesis being the one to find out about it first. I mean,
coincidence. Was it? This Laughing Stallion, does any pony know who he is? I asked to the shaking of heads. Even Serenity took time out for her fiddling with my leg to shake her head at me. Who showed up first, him or the Batmare? I remember hearing something on the radio a while back. New Haggis claimed the two spent a lot of time fighting each other, much to the chagrin of the Dais residents. By herself, the Batmare could do a lot of good, but if she spent all her time against one pony and never resolving it, well, that would sour the city on her, wouldn't it?
The Batmare, High Stakes answered first. She has been working here for a while. The Laughing Stallion came a few months back, and it was him that caused her to become a feature on the radio. Why?
Nothing, I said. I shook my head. Serenity?
5 more minutes. She pouted up at me. It's criminal what you did to it. It'll never be as good as it was. A classic piece of cybernetics ruined.
With a huff, she nudged Scudaborg closer, almost asking her to watch.
You'll be able to walk, but don't try running or kicking till I can fix him up right, got it?
Sorry, I said, and turned back to the Minotaur. I mean, Unbreakable Will. He was a monstrous creature, but monsters don't have names, so it was important to remember. Well, did you see where he went?
Yes.
There was a long pause. Maybe he didn't know if he could trust us with the information.
The main pump building.
I didn't understand. The silence was so absolute that the only sound was the boiling water in the large vat.
The water at this plant is taken from large underground reservoir, beneath even the deepest tunnels. From there, the supply goes through a series of purification rooms. Boiling is supposed to rid the water of minute traces of radiation.
I had to wonder how much fire it'd take to boil all this water. Maybe that was why Roy attacked the power station. Power stations make fire, right? The Minotaur continued.
If they seek to poison the water, they have gone to the wrong place. The purification process is thorough enough to clean away anything.
Why poison? Flair said. At some point, I realized he was flying upside down. But he did that so often I didn't even care.
If I were them, I'd blow the whole thing up.
Really, Flair? Your first reaction would be to explode things. Who would have thought?
Seriously, what better way to poison the populace than make them all drink irradiated water by blowing up the purification place thing?
Wait, fuck, that made sense. I jumped to my hooves.
It's not ready,
Serenity said, getting up as well. We need to go, now, I said, before quickly adding to cut off Serenity's complaints. We don't have time.
Go, Unbreakable Will said. My clan will watch, but we cannot interfere. I will be punished for talking to you.
Huh?
We swore to remain unseen or kill those who see us. I cannot kill you, and you have seen me. It is a great dishonor to my clan.
Okay, sure.
How do you even get in here? I mean, Dais, Flair said as he landed beside me. I mean, ain't like you could walk through the front door.
The tunnels,
he said simply. Of course, I guess minotaurs were just one more danger in the tunnels.
Where did the Batman get to?
Flair asked as we left the building. Unbreakable Will gave us instructions to get to the main pumping building, and we left in a hurry.
I, for one, haven't the slightest clue. She ran off as soon as we got close, High Stakes said in a low voice.
Who knew who was watching? Well, given the burn in my shoulder, I had an idea. I wondered how many minotaurs were watching us right now.
Maybe we'll get lucky and she'll have already defeated the bad guy.
I smiled down at Serenity as I limped my way along. It was a nice thought, but not very likely. That would imply we had good luck. The complex itself was, annoyingly, complex. Sure, there were walkways between the various buildings, but it still felt like a maze with so many different buildings. And that's not to mention the astronomical amount of pipes. It felt like a world away from Dais. What did a plant like this need all these buildings for? I didn't stay on that train of thought for long, though, as there was no way I'd be able to understand what went on in this facility. The only thing I needed to know was that explosions equal bad.
Just in case, shouldn't we, hurry?
Flair seemed to be flapping his wings in an exaggeratedly slow pace. Given he was flying to my right, I had to turn my whole head to see him, though.
No way!
Serenity jumped up, grabbed his wing, and dragged him back to Earth.
Her leg is stuck together with tape and chewing gum right now. If we move too fast, it'll break.
We could go ahead. It seems Harry would not be of use even if we all get there together.
High Stakes said.
Best not wear her out. Flair and I can handle any trouble there.
Like you handle the Minotaur? I replied with a smirk, trying to ignore the way my leg creaked with every step.
That was...
He scrunched up his muzzle to the left of me.
I had little option. I did not want to risk a shot at first for fear of hitting Flair. And after you two fighting, I could not see him. I am not a melee fighter.
Neither is Flyer, I continued the chain of thought. So if you two go alone and get jumped, you lose, everything goes boom. He gave me a long, hard glare. It's better to go together.
You aren't fighting with that leg,
Serenity was insistent. Apparently, the destruction of possibly the last functioning water purification plant on Earth was less important than me breaking my leg.
That was just... Exactly what I expected from Serenity.
I really should have left her back with Hayes. Wait, I did do that, and then she followed me. But I was on thin enough ice as it was, so I didn't want to risk it.
We did eventually find the main pumping station to discover it was a fairly small building with four large pipes coming out of it, one from each side of the building. The entrance was a simple metal door that was strangely malformed, a black ring of burnt stuff encircling what was probably a lock and handle once. There was no question that some pony had entered recently, and not with permission.
Serenity, I said in a low whisper, you're sounding magic. Can you make it so we can talk normally without other ponies hearing us?
I'll try.
My shoulder burned as her horn started to glow a dull pink. Slowly, a small bubble of glowing magical stuff surrounded us.
Can't hold it for long,
she grunted, adding another layer of magic to her horn.
Impressive,
High Stakes said. His glasses shining because that was just what they did. I'd stopped trying to make sense of it.
A double-wrapped sound barrier that blocks sound from both sides but allows us to talk freely. It's technically the same spell, but such a clever adaptation of it.
Serenity beamed in pride, but had to add another layer of magic to hold the spell. Here's the plan, I said. We go in, shoot everything, and if there's a bomb, we get Flair to deactivate it.
That's it? We charge in and hope we don't die?
High Stakes sure loved to complain. I guess I could have pointed out that no pony invited him along, he just sort of followed, and thus didn't get a say.
We should try to sneak in and attack from a flanking position.
Blah, blah, blah. There's only one entrance. The building is small, can't be more than one room. With a resigned sigh, he nodded. There wasn't a point questioning it.
Well, let's go. Charge.
Serenity, stay behind me. If things turn ugly, run and hide. The little filly nodded. She looked so tired. And she was trying so hard to be strong, even as sweat beaded down her head and around her glowing horn. Let's go. The magical field faded around us. I charged over and bucked the door open with a crash and stormed as fast as I could into the room. I made it two steps before I was staring down the barrel of a gun. The gun was a mouth-held shotgun pointed by a stallion who could apparently laugh and bite down at the same time.
You should see the looks on your faces. Priceless!
The stallion's coat was a murky red, and his mane was long and yellow, but his face was, as stated, painted white with a stupid red smile.
I could see why he kept his face like that. It helped partially hide the fact that half his face was cybernetics.
"Hey," I heard Flair mutter behind me. "We were just passing through and thought you might like some help," and there was a gunshot and a bullet slammed against concrete, and I heard Flair gulp. Behind the demented stallion, one of his nearly dozen lackeys, all wearing white masks, had a smoking gun in their mouth. All of them were earth ponies. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see one of them saunter behind us and close the door.
"Let's play a little game."
The laughing stallion clicked his back hooves together in glee.
"It's called Who Dies First? Will it be you, the filly, or who knows?"
He chuckled loudly to himself.
"Or I'll tie you up and let you go boom."
The room was small and crowded by ponies and rusty pipes. My shoulders started to burn and my eyes shot to the ceiling. On the ceiling was a small grate that let in moonlight.
"Really? You're kidding, right?" I said.
He tilted his head at me, still chuckling.
"I mean, painted face, laughing. What the hell are you doing?"
"Why, I'm giving the ponies a show. Ponies love shows, and they love to be entertained. What is more entertaining than two heroes locked in an epic duel? Oh yes, sure, we destroy a lot, but it's all part of the game."
There was a sadistic grin on his face, but it felt wrong. Something about all of this felt wrong. Too easy. He showed up just to fight the Batmare, but why? His story didn't add up. His character didn't add up. It felt too forced. I'd met actual crazy ponies. This guy felt like an actor trying too hard.
"Too bad Batsy isn't here for the fun, but you'll have to do."
He chuckled.
"An earth pony, a pegasus, a filly, and a unicorn. We really have a full house. So, Miss Hero, any last words?"
I looked back up at the grate and thought I saw a flash of a purple cape.
"Yeah," I smirked. "Duck."
For a half second, his act dropped.
"What?"
He turned his head and there was a flash of light, a tink of something hitting the ground, and suddenly smoke filled the room. I then cracked my metal hoof against his face. My metal leg shuddered but kept together, and he went sprawling into the growing smoke. Gunfire filled the room.
"Serenity!"
She was faster than I was, and I could feel her magic off in a corner. Good. I charged after the laughing stallion, trying to kick him. Too bad smoke was everywhere. It was chaotic. Muzzle flashes and Batmare's magic came from every direction. I tripped over a pipe into an earth pony that I promptly kicked in the face. A second came from beside me, mistaking me for a friend, so I turned and bucked him into a wall. I don't know how Batmare thought these smoke grenades were a good idea. It was crazy. A bullet tinged off a pipe right in front of me. Water sprayed at my face, making me sputter and take a step back right into a pony. I tripped and fell my rump over some pony. It was lucky, though, as I saw a dim outline of a pony diving at where I was a second ago. I felt some pony walk into me, so I grabbed their legs and threw them down.
"Hey! Hey!
Flair?
Sorry."
I let him go.
"Can't say shit."
"You're half blind anyway." Flair barked laughter. "I like it like this. Been so long since I've had a proper confusing fight." I smacked him lightly.
"Fine,"
he yelled over the gunfire.
"Watch this."
I heard him flap into the air, and a few seconds of furious flapping, and all the smoke was pushed to the side of the room, giving me a better view of the battleground. I saw two ponies knocked out, groaning and struggling with their hooves, while one I had tripped over stayed dead from the bullet in her brain. At least five more lackeys had bullets lodged in their heads, too, courtesy of High Stakes, who was doing astoundingly well with his rifle. He had backed up into a corner, and a score of bodies laid out in front of him. How had he been able to see in the smoke? The glasses, maybe? The Batmare herself was flashing around the room, giving kicks at random. Not enough to kill, but hurt and confused. As I looked around, I saw a lot of bodies and spurting water, but no laughing stallion.
"Hide!"
I turned to Serenity's hiding spot to see her and the villain standing face to face. A drop of blood slid down the side of his face. How did he know where she was? Could every pony see in the smoke with me? No time to think. Fuck him. I dove at him. Time seemed to slow as I stretched my legs out in a tackle. He turned his head, shotgun still ready, and fired. My cybernetic leg took the shot and turned to scrap. I slammed into him with my other leg. We rolled to the ground. He got off another shot, but it barely scraped my barding. My head slammed against the floor, my sight blurred in pain. Before I could react, he was standing over me, shotgun pointed at my face.
"So strong, and yet... do you feel happy with this life? Do you fancy yourself a hero?"
I gripped my teeth.
Tell me. Somehow, the metal half of his face turned into a grimace. What is the nature of a hero?
Pain, I guessed. Something to keep him talking so I could get ready to kick him.
Failure.
Get it?
He kept talking. Heroes fail. They try and they fail. If a hero doesn't fail, they aren't doing it right. So congratulations. You succeeded in being a hero by being a failure. Riddle time is over. Now please duh.
A shot rang out. The bullet hit his shotgun, tearing it from his mouth and showering my face with shotgun remains. A second bullet ripped through the stallion's leg. At once, his facade faded.
Fuckity fuck, dragon doesn't pay me enough to fuck!
He turned and ran, taking another bullet in the flank before running through the door, disappearing into the night. Dragon. He said dragon. Could he mean dragon slayer? I groaned and rested my head on the floor. This sucked.
Hired!
Serenity was standing above me, her pistol floating in her magical grasp.
Your leg! It's ruined!
Flair was standing above me now, too. I deactivated the bomb. Thanks for the help, by the way. High Stakes was there as well.
Your plan almost got us killed. Luckily, I was there to save you.
The Batmare flashed above me, too, a scowl on her mask.
You let the Laughing Stallion get away!
Failure. If that was the nature of a hero, there was no pony more heroic. I limped my way out of the building. Serenity had wanted to fix up all the leaking pipes, but we really didn't have time. I'm sure invisible minotaurs were watching us, and mayhem was going to arrive at any moment. I think she was still upset about the loss of my leg. I kind of was, too. It had been with me since Bridal Hope, and even though I preferred my real leg, my cybernetic one was good, too. She even went through the trouble of collecting the larger pieces, as well as the stump still connected to my shoulder. Hi, Stakes, I said to him as he exited behind me. He seemed slightly bemused at my three-legged limping. Tell Starscream or House or whoever I accept their offer, so as long as I get that damn cyber eye and a replacement leg.
House doesn't usually bargain, but considering the circumstances.
He nodded at my stump.
A high Zaya is far more useful with four legs. I will tell him. Tonight, I'm guessing. Where will you be?
Thanks. The school. I need to rest, even though it was getting scarily close to morning.
Take Flair, please.
Sure.
What? Flair flapped in front of me. Don't I get a say in this at all?
I shook my head.
No.
I turned my head to the Batmare.
Can I ask something of you?
She tilted her head. Teleport me to the Alicorn School orphanage place thingy with Serenity.
Serenity looked half asleep. As we stood there, I saw her close her eyes and start to fall over, only to snap them open and straighten up at the last second.
I really shouldn't take her on these wild excursions, but she...
Well, she was invaluable help, and with her help, we had stopped a crazy pony from blowing up the city's water supply. I'd have to give her some candy later.
I can.
She sounded tired, too.
For your help here today, but after this I must request you stop asking requests of me. I am neither taxi nor a messenger.
Sorry, I mumbled, shaking the sleep out of my eye. Hair. I nudged Serenity beside the Batmare as the hero's horn started to glow. High Stakes and Flair stood across from us in the darkened water complex. All around, I could hear the sounds of pipes rushing water around.
Thanks, you two.
I was being polite tonight. Tell me, the Batmare's horn started to glow brighter. What is the nature of a hero?
Stupidity, Stakes said with a snort, as if the question was beneath him. Defiance,
Flair shot High Stakes a dirty look. A hero needs to bark at the established order. Why? We winked away into light. The sensation was hard to describe. It was like all the cells in my body were being pulled away and dissipated, sending a burning light, sort of like the feeling in my shoulder around magic, through my very soul. It didn't last long, as soon enough I could feel myself being pushed back together. The whole feeling lasted less than a second, but it was something I would never be able to forget. To think that the Batmare did it daily and so rapidly was mind-boggling. My eye shot open, revealing the door I'd used to first enter Hayes' orphanage thingy. My hair felt a little singed, but other than that, I was all there in however many pieces I came in.
You are here,
the Batmare said. Not sure why she said it. I still had my eyes, or eye.
Faithful sidekick, you and your daughter.
I winced and could see Serenity shuffle awkwardly out of the corner of my eye. I'd forgot to explain the situation to her, didn't I?
Have served my cause well tonight.
I thank you for your valiant efforts in foiling that dastardly devil and saving the city's water supply.
Was it really in danger? We took long enough getting to the Laughing Stallion. He could have blown it up at any time, yet seemed to wait for me, or rather the Batmare, like he was trying to make it close and dramatic. The whole situation seemed too easy, too coincidental. I knew there was something I was missing, but I just couldn't see it. At least I knew about Mayhem and the Minotaurs now, and that was something simple and easy to understand, and gave me a certain amount of leverage. Of course, since Flair and High Stakes both knew, the remnants in house were going to learn soon.
I needed more friends who didn't work around me.
Hired?
Huh?
Hired?
I looked down at Serenity.
Bat Lady left.
I looked around. Apparently she had, and I was exhausted.
Right. I limped towards the door. You did good tonight, Serenity. She grinned as if she already knew that. But if you're still mad at me, why?
She had said as much early that night. It really was the same day, wasn't it? So much had happened, I'd lost track of time.
She ran ahead of me and spun back. I don't know. I don't like what you did, but inside you're still a good pony. I'm sure of it. So, I'm giving you a second chance. I'll try to be better this time, though. I promise. I just want to be with you. You don't have to be my mother or anything. I just, please, we'll both do better this time. I know it.
I leaned down and gave her cheek a warm nuzzle. She giggled and pushed me away just a little. Yes, Serenity, we'll do better. Thank you for giving me another chance. After all had happened, I didn't deserve it, but I was going to take it as it came. If I was going to build a better world for her, I had to start by giving her a better future. Even if I couldn't be all that she wanted, I could be what she needed. And what she seemed to need more than anything was a pony to care for her. For so long, she had been alone, and I could give her that. Run off to bed. It's late. She didn't even argue with me. She just nodded, said,
"Good night, Hired. Thanks,"
and ran out down the hall, leaving me alone. I wasn't sure what to do at this point. I really just wanted to make sure Serenity got back all right. I wasn't sure where we stood. It was different than before, but better, I think. At least we were being more honest, and that could only be good. I wasn't excited with her following me around again, but it was her choice, and I knew she needed it. Hopefully this time I would avoid freaking out and shooting foals. I limped my way over to Platinum Hayes's room. Opening the door with my skull, I limped inside to see the beautiful blue alicorn resting on her mattress. Her eyes were closed, so I assumed she was asleep and collapsed on the bed beside her. With a groan, I shut my eye and let myself be comforted by the radiant warmth of her body. I didn't know if I was ready for a relationship yet, but she was too warm to pass up. One of her wings lifted up and draped over me. I felt myself blush. I thought you were asleep.
We do. I do not need sleep in this form.
She shuffled closer to me. I didn't complain.
I was worried when you left so suddenly. What happened?
Fought a supervillain. Nearly died in a vat of boiling water. The usual, I said with a yawn.
I don't think she believed me.
Really? I asked the Batmare.
You mean that mare who assaulted me when we first met?
Right, that's the one. I chuckled a bit and lifted my head up so I could rest it on her side.
I am not sure how I feel about that, but at least you are safe. Mostly safe. Serenity vanished as well, I assume with you.
She followed me.
See, I knew you two would make up.
Her feathers tickled me a bit.
I'm glad you're safe. I am sorry about earlier.
Don't be.
It's just that I shouldn't have come on to you. Considering the circumstances, I understand your hesitation and reluctance. And it was not wise of me to act the way I did. Oh, for Celestia's sake.
I leaned up and kissed her cheek. There was a slight pause before she started stammering and blushing. Stop that. I rested my head on her again. Stop overthinking. I was the master of not overthinking and not thinking.
Just be glad for what you have, and let me rest.
I gave her a shy smile, and she stuttered something before composing herself.
Sorry, it's just...
I felt her kiss atop my head. Now I was blushing too, great.
I'm not a filly fooler, she was just comfortable. Shut up.
Thanks.
Hayes?
She hummed at me. What is the nature of a hero? Clearly, that was not the question she was expecting.
Humility.
That took the Batmare out of the equation.
I think a hero has to do what they do because it is what is required, and not for fame. Velvet Remedy is a good example. She followed the Destroyer silently and let her get all the fame. Velvet did the right thing for the right reasons. If any pony was ever a hero, then it was she.
Was all I could say in reply. She was so very warm, so hard to stay awake. It was strange. I barely knew her, but after the memory thing and everything that had happened, I really needed that moment. I think she needed it too.
Why? She asked.
It's a riddle, I yawned.
I hate riddles. Level up. New perk. Violent Vigilante. You are a force of justice and do not take kindly to corruption or violence in the city you've claimed as your own. Against sleazy dice gangs and disorganized criminals, you do an additional 15% damage and have a bonus to hit and sats. Not that you use sats. Quest perk. Sidekick. Sometimes, when your enemies think they have the upper hoof, the Batmare appears in a flash to save the day. However, this perk is only active in and around Dais, and keeping this perk active means you must occasionally drop everything you are doing and go fight in the name of justice.